Hi guys, I'm Mason, and today I will be talking about how mothers fought to radically reimagine welfare. In 1996, the New Republic ran a bright red cover that perfectly captured the tenor of the contemporary debate over welfare. The Day of Reckoning. A cover line read above a photograph of an unidentified black woman. She was smoking a cigarette in one hand and holding a baby in the other. The text beneath the image read, "Sign the welfare bill now." The racial optics were not subtle. The welfare bill in question fundamentally changed the New Deal era program by putting limits on how long people could draw benefits and placed new restrictions on who's eligible. The goal, its proponents said, was to get millions of people off welfare and into work. The thing that I don't understand about how the New Deal era program is that some people, they may not have a lot of money, or they might have a lot of children, so they can't really go out and work just to make up like some money. Like, they could probably work, but they could also need, or no, they could just need their welfare so that they could provide things for their family or put food on the table, which I don't think back then many people saw that. And President Clinton ran on a campaign promise to end welfare as we know it, but that bill sat on the back burner until congressional Republicans swept 1994 midterms, and they decided to hold him to it. Clinton would sign welfare reform into law the summer after the New Republic cover story ran. The bill was enormously controversial. One would cut millions of poor people from much help needed. Like, some of them could probably have, they could probably be sick, or they could, or their family members could be sick, or children. And now they're trying to cut off that. So people who need money to provide for their families or provide for medical bills, they can't do that anymore because of how they're cutting off the welfare. It doesn't make any sense of why they would do that to just people who are just trying to care for one another. I just don't understand that. The Rose Garden ceremony for that bill signing, Clinton was flanked by Lil Hardin, a black single mother and former welfare recipient from Arkansas. She said that Bill Clinton's previous efforts to reduce the welfare rolls as governor of that state had set on her path to work and self-sufficiency. "Going to work gave me independence to take care of my children and to make sure there was always food on the table and a roof over their heads." See, like, this is what this is supposed to be about. How they're trying to provide for their children and give them shelter and clothes, which is really good. And that's why they needed the welfare so bad. Hardin said at the ceremony, "Having a job gave me a chance to focus on school and getting a good education," which, whenever you do focus on school whenever you get a good education, you might get a better job that can give you more. It can give you more money, and you can provide for your children or give it to people who don't have that much stuff. Hardin stood on the dais with Penelope Howard, another former welfare recipient, surrounded by powerful, smiling white people, seemingly happy to usher millions like them into a life of independence from the stage. Again, the optics were hard to miss. Lily Hardin's real story turned out to be much more complicated. Unsurprisingly, since life in poverty is complicated, but like the unnamed woman on the magazine cover in the beginning, in the case of the unarmed woman, she was an example of an unnamed woman. She was an example of a paternalistic resilience, but as always, these black women on welfare were presented a problem to be solved. Pamela Nadison, a historian at Barnard College, wrote in her book, Rethinking, the welfare rights and movement that arguments for cutting or restricting welfare relied less on data than on antidote and racial consistition. The welfare king. The most notorious example of a welfare recipient turned caricature was Linda Taylor, the subject of our most recent podcast episode. The media fascination around Taylor, a prolific con artist from Chicago's South Side, gave reason. Held her up as an endemic of welfare fraud and government use. But her story was much messier and far darker than the cartoon Reagan sketched in his stump speeches. This was Taylor's speech. I'm a black woman. I'm a poor woman. I'm a fat woman. I'm a middle-aged woman. And I'm on welfare. In this country, if you're any one of those things, you can't lift from a human being. If you're all those things, you don't count at all. This is what happened back then in, 1996. When if you were classified as that, then people just didn't pay attention to you. They just thought you were nothing. Just nothing. The grim irony around these characteristics is that black women came face to face of welfare, even as a program had long been closed off to them. The program most of us refer as welfare began as an aid to dependent children during the New Deal, and offered financial assistance to women whose husbands who couldn't work, were not around, or were dead. When people tried to protest against these, that's probably how their husbands were killed by police, by whenever they couldn't, because they're trying to stop and get money for their wives and children. To sum it up, basically, this is about how a woman was, she wanted to have welfare to provide for her family, kids, and pretty much settle it so there was not racism against black people. It's kind of sad on how back then, how people were racist and they did not like the other skin of other people. But now in the 2000s or 2019, there's not that much racism anymore. It's just about how if you get along with that person, then you're not friends and you're just a cool person. That was my podcast. I'll see you in the next one.